2 Timothy chapter 4, look if you would, starting at verse 3. Paul says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for the privilege of being in church, and Lord, where we can hear your word preached, and Lord, the fact that you even speak to us, Lord, the fact that you hear our prayers, Lord, that just shows the grace, Lord, that you give us every day. Help us to never take it for granted, Lord, the grace that you give us, Lord, and the fact that we have the word of God that we can study and learn from and have you speak to us through and grow as Christians. Lord, help us to take heed to the word of God this morning, Lord, the warning that it gives us. Help us to learn from it, Lord, and help us never to go the way that it's described. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the text that we're reading this morning in 2 Timothy 4 is a passage where Paul is writing his last letter before he's beheaded by Nero, the leader of Rome at that time. Paul is writing to this young preacher, Timothy. And Paul is telling Timothy that in the last days, he's telling Timothy that people will not endure sound doctrine. Christians no longer would want to listen to the truth of the Bible, but would instead seek out false teachers and teaching only what they want to hear. Notice there he said in verse 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." In other words, they can't take it. They can't endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, the things that they really want in life, shall they heap themselves teachers having itching ears. And what is that saying? That's saying that there, in the last days, that there will be people, rather than hearing the truth that the Bible talks about, rather than hearing sound doctrine being taught and being preached in churches, what they'll do is they'll leave those churches to where people are preaching what they want to hear rather than what they need to hear. Amen? Listen, when you come into that door of a church, you should come in, but then when you should leave differently every single time. Why? Because the Word of God has an impact on you. Sometimes as Christians, in fact, more often than not, we have issues where we do sin, where we have things going on in our life. And when we come into the church, when you hear a message and that message, the Lord speaks to you and says, "Hey, there's something that's not exactly right in your life. You need to get right with God. You need to confess that sin before the Lord." You should be able to do that and then walk out and saying, "You know what? I'm back in fellowship with God. Hallelujah." Amen. Amen? That's the way it's supposed to work. But because of our pride, there are a lot of Christians, when they come to church, they know that there's sin in their life. And when all of a sudden the preacher gets up and starts preaching about that sin, they get the idea that the preacher's preaching to them. And saying, "That preacher's just always preaching to me. He's always naming the things I'm doing." It's not me. If I'm preaching the Word of God, it's the Lord that's pointing that out to you. But the problem is there are too many Christians today that are too proud. They don't want to hear what the Lord has to say about what they're doing in their lives and the sin that they're harboring. So they say, "You know what? I'm just going to go over to this other church over here to where they don't preach on those sort of things. And I feel better about myself." That's what he warned. Would you agree that that's happening today? It is happening today. There are people today, in fact, today more than any other time in history, Christians are turning away from the truth. And they're listening to false teachers. I've noticed that there's been a lot of false teaching that people are starting to hear. And you say, "Well, what happened?" Well, you know, when people weren't coming to church during when the pandemic was at its worst, you know what they did? They searched the internet to find preaching. And the problem is some of the people they've heard preaching weren't preaching the truth. And they got started to get be led astray. And we're actually seeing the remnants of that. We're seeing proofs of that. People today turning away from the truth. And so people today, they'll gather in churches that never preach about sin, that never preach about hell, because they don't want to hear things like that. And today, more than ever, people are turning away from the truth. And so Paul tells Timothy in verse 5 to watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. He's telling Timothy that no matter what, do the work of an evangelist and preach the truth. Paul then tells Timothy in this letter that he's ready to die. He says in verse 6, he says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He's saying, you know, as a Christian, I've served the Lord Jesus Christ. I did the best I could. I obeyed the word of God. I did what the Lord told me to do. I remained a faithful Christian. And because of that, the Lord's going to reward me when I get to heaven. I'm ready to go home. I have fought the good fight of faith. Boy, I wish all of us could say that. I wish all of us, if the Lord were to let us know that we're going home tonight, or to tell us to get our house in order, I wish every one of us could say the same thing that Paul just said. That we have finished our course. We have fought the good fight of faith. Listen, if you couldn't say that today, you need to get to where you could say that. All of us should be like that. I wish we'd all remain faithful as Christians. But the truth is, so many Christians today cannot say that. There are Christians all over this town and all over this country who don't go to church, who don't read their Bible, who never pray, who live with no fear of God whatsoever. We're talking Christians here who don't do these things. Christians who are saved, but they quit serving the Lord. For whatever reason, they just quit serving the Lord. Now, it was the same way back in Paul's day. Even back then, there were people who were saved but no longer thought it was important to serve the Lord. How do we know this? Well, look at the next two verses. Look starting at verse 9. Paul tells Timothy, starting in verse 9, he says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Now watch. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Cretans of Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Demas here more than likely was saved. He used to be faithful. He used to tell others about the Lord, and he used to read the scriptures, and he used to pray. But then he went down the same path that so many Christians have gone down today. He got to the point where instead of loving the Lord, he started to love this present world. And he quit serving God. How do we as Christians avoid going down the same path that Demas did? I'm just going to tell you, folks, if you think it could never happen to me, you give yourself too much credit. It could happen to anybody in this room. And I do want to point out that nobody just all of a sudden wakes up one morning and says, you know what, I just don't want to serve God anymore. I'm just going to quit. I've never met a Christian who did that. But I have met Christians who over a period of time started to serve the Lord less and less and less because their love for the Lord was less and their love for the world started to grow. And then pretty soon they're not serving the Lord anymore. How do we protect ourselves from falling in love with this present world? Well, I want to give you some things this morning that'll hopefully will help you out to where maybe we can avoid doing the same thing that Demas did. First thing I want to point out is we need to understand the warnings the Bible gives us concerning the world. I mean, over and over and over, the Bible warns us about loving this world and what this world is. You say, well, what does the word world actually refer to? Well, when you read your Bible, you'll find out the word world is mentioned many different times. When you look at the many references of the word world in the Bible, you find yourself asking, what in the world does the word world mean? Well, the word world is used to describe some different things. On some occasions, it's referring to the earth. On some occasions, it's referring to the earth. In Acts chapter 17, verse 24, for example, it says, God that made the world and all the things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. So there, the world would include the earth and the universe. That would be the world in that passage. But then again, over in John 3:16, the passage that all of us know pretty well, It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, to whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, it isn't like the Lord loved the universe and loved the actual rocks and dirt of the earth. He didn't send his son to save the rocks and dirt of the earth. Who did he send his son to save? Well, the Lord said he came to save sinners. Amen? So in that sense, you're talking about the world there means mankind. Mankind. You also have the term world in the Bible can refer to a specific time or age on this earth. I'll give you an example. When the Lord was teaching about the unforgivable sin, and don't worry, you can't commit it today, okay? But when the Lord was teaching about the unforgivable sin, he said this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 32. He said, whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world or the world to come. Well, now, wait a second. That's two different worlds. What was he talking about? He was talking about the time when Jesus was here during the first advent, when he came the first time, when he was walking with the disciples and teaching for 3.5 years. That's one world. And the world to come is when he comes back the second time, when he rules and reigns on this earth for 1,000 years. So there, the word world is more of a specific period of time. And so, as you can see, that the word world is used in many different ways in the scriptures. But we find that the word world here, when it says that Demas, having loved this present world, he's not talking about the dirt or the rocks. He's not talking about men. He's not talking about some period of time. What's he talking about? He's talking about a system of things that are opposed to God and going in the opposite direction of God. The things that seek to turn us from God. That's what we're talking about when it's talking about loving this present world. You say, what's it talking about? Well, it's talking about our finances, our sports, the politics, everything that we have, everything that's opposed to God, that's what it's talking about. And it says that Demas began to love this present world. It's a system. It's an economic, social, political, religious system. It started with Cain, who went out from the presence of the Lord to build a city in Genesis 4. His purpose was to make the earth a beautiful place to live in without God. Without God. You know, that's what the world's trying to do today. People talking about, you know, let's all get together and have peace. There can't be peace without the Lord. Can't. He's the Prince of Peace. This world has never seen peace. You know, I'm talking about world, political systems, all that. You know, it's been said that the world in the Bible is Satan's system of opposing the work of God on earth. It is the very opposite of what is godly and holy and spiritual. That's what it's talking about when we're talking about the world that Demas fell in love with. In 1 John 5:19, it says this. It says, the whole world lieth in wickedness. Not only that, but Satan is called the prince of this world in John 12:31. And he is the energizer behind this world. James 4:4 gives this warning. It says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore shall be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Boy, that's a big warning. Ought never become friends of the world. But Demas did. He fell in love with the world. Listen, you can't love God and the world at the same time. And as Christians, we're warned over and over. Here's what we're warned in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 16. It says, love not the world. Hey, wait a second, Demas. Love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Think about that, folks. The lust of the eyes, that's worldly. The lust of the flesh, that's worldly. The pride of life, that's worldly. Is there any way that you could actually have anything godly when it comes to lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life? No. That goes against everything that Bible teaches that's godly. But that's all that's in the world. And Demas loved this present world. He loved it. He got to the point to where he says, you know what, I'd rather spend time with the world than I would with the Lord. I'd rather spend time doing the things of the world than doing the things of God. You know, I'm really starting to like doing all these things over here. I think I'll start doing those more. He fell in love with this present world, and we're warned not to love this world. Paul said to Timothy, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And if we're ever going to avoid going down the same path that Demas went down, the first thing we need to do is understand the warnings that this Bible gives about the world. The second thing that we must do if we're going to avoid doing the same thing Demas did. And again, I will tell you, a lot of Christians have already went down that path. The second thing we must do is not only do we need to understand the warnings given in the Bible, but we also need to understand that we are all vulnerable to the pull of the world. Don't think for a second, just because you read your Bible, just because you come to church, that somehow the world cannot pull you over the dirt side. Don't even get the idea of that. Because I'll tell you something, that Bible also warns us that we are not to think too highly of ourselves, because any of us can fall. Any of us can. Now you'll notice here in the scriptures that Demas is actually mentioned in two other places. Besides in our text here in 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy chapter 4. One time he's mentioned in the book of Colossians. The other time he's mentioned is in the book of Philemon. In the book of Colossians, Paul says this in Colossians 4:14. He says this. He says, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. You know what that's telling you? That's telling you that, now think about this. Paul is writing to the church of Colossae, and he's saying, hey, I'm greeting you. And here over here, he's Dr. Luke. He sends his greetings. And oh, Demas says over here, Demas says to say hi. You know what he's saying? Demas was with Paul at that time. Demas was with Paul in his missionary journeys. Demas was with Paul when he wrote that letter. He was with Paul in the ministry. He was out there winning people to the Lord, teaching people about Jesus Christ, praying for people. That's what he was doing. That's where the first time you see him is right there in the book of Colossians. But then we also see him in the book of Philemon. In Philemon verses 24 and 25, it says this. Paul says, there salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. Not only was he with Paul, but he was working right there beside probably one of the greatest Christians who ever lived. He was traveling with Paul. He was seeing people get saved. I don't know how many of you have ever actually seen somebody get saved, but if you've never seen it, you need to get there and witness somebody, because it's worth a lot. To this day, I'm telling you, every time I see somebody get saved, I'm sitting right there and my bottom lip is quivering. I don't know whether to laugh like a schoolgirl or cry my eyeballs out. Because it's just emotional seeing a soul get saved and knowing that soul is going to be in heaven for eternity. It's a wonderful thing. And Demas saw that. I mean, you think about all the people that Paul led to the Lord and the churches that he started. Demas was right there as a fellow laborer with him. Everything that Paul saw, he saw the miracles, the working of God, the Holy Spirit, all of that he saw. And Paul mentions those who were laboring with him to do the Lord's work, those who were faithful, those who were serving God. And right there with Paul, there was Demas right there mentioned with people like Mark and Luke. Demas was a fellow laborer with Paul. Demas was with Paul in the ministry. He was right there in the thick of things. But you can hear the sadness in Paul's voice when he writes there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and he says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. It's as though the one man that Paul would never thought in a million years would have walked out on the Lord was Demas. And Demas had done just that. What happened to Demas? Demas fell in love with the world, and as a result, he left Paul. He left him at his side, no longer a fellow servant, no longer serving the Lord. He just quit. You know, you would think that Demas, a person who was right there in the thick of things with Paul, that the world wouldn't have much of a pull on Demas. I mean, that's what you'd think. You know, sometimes we start to think that we're so insulated from the world because we go to church, and we're so insulated from the world because we hang around other Christians. And listen, you should be in church. You should be hanging around other Christians. You should. But we start to think that that insulates us from becoming worldly and falling in love with the world. It got Demas, and he was right there with the Apostle Paul. He was right there with him when all those things were going on. And many times as Christians, we sometimes forget that the pressures that this world actually puts on us. I sit there and I look at the world today compared to the world when I was a teenager, and there's far more pressures on a teenager today than what it was when I was young. And it's going to get worse, and it's going to get worse, and it's going to get worse. Sometimes we don't recognize that the pull that the world actually has on us. I want you to think about this, folks. It wasn't the hardships that Demas went through with Paul, the persecutions, those things. It wasn't those things that made Demas turn away. It was the love of the world that made him turn away. It wasn't, you know, the people like the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin and those and the higher ups that would constantly, you know, go after Paul and those that were with Paul. It wasn't that to turn him away from serving the Lord. He was good with all of that. It was the love of the world that turned him away. And you know, Demas could have been used in a mighty way. He could have even been a Timothy. But the world got him. And what troubles and trials and tribulations associated with serving the Lord was not able to do, the world was able to pull Demas away. Now, I don't know about you, but that gets my attention right there. That gets me wondering right there. Because Demas was in the ministry. He was a support to Paul. Demas is mentioned with Dr. Luke. And they were with Paul when Paul was serving the Lord and preaching, doing things. And we still read about some of the things that Paul did right here in our Bibles. And yet the world still got Demas. And that tells me that in the ministry, being in the ministry ain't going to insulate anybody. I know preachers that preach the truth. I mean, preach doctrinal truth. And they're not even in ministry today because the world got them. The love of the world got them. Coming to church won't insulate you. Being a good Christian, putting on a suit on Sunday, that won't insulate you. May I say that Demas didn't have TV back then. Demas didn't have an internet back then. There were no radios back then. There were no billboards back then. He didn't have near the pull on him as we have on us today. He didn't even have a computer or anything. He didn't have a smartphone or anything. He didn't have internet. There weren't even newspapers going around. But the world must have had quite a pull on him. Now, wouldn't you think that if Demas could fall in love with the world when he doesn't have the internet or the TV or the newspaper or the radio or those things, if the world could pull him away, what makes you think that the world couldn't pull you away? I mean, you think about that for a second. Must have had quite a pull. I tell you what, that's a big warning to me that whether a man's in a ministry or not in a ministry, the world has a strong pull. And if all of us are not very careful, we're going to be pulled away into this world. We'll get to the point where we'll be just like Demas, to where we used to serve the Lord, we used to come to church, but now we have fallen in love with the present world and we're going to quit. And you say, it never happened to me, Pastor. It happened to somebody far better than us. It happened to somebody who had a whole lot more advantages than us. It happened to somebody who had less things that associated the world than us. If we're ever going to avoid going down the same road that Demas went, we need to understand that the warnings that the Bible gives about the world, we need to understand that we're all vulnerable to the pull of the world. And then the third thing, if we're going to avoid going down the road that Demas went down, we have to make sure that the Lord and what He wants always, always, always comes first in our life. It doesn't matter whether you say, well, you know, I just don't know if I'm put the Lord what the Lord wants first today. No, wait a second. That's called compromise. Always put what the Lord wants and His will first. And if you do that, that's the best chance you have of not falling in love with this world. Turn, if you would, over to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Now, in Luke chapter 14, the Lord is teaching basically this subject. And He's telling you the priorities of everything in your life, to what they should be. Luke chapter 14. And basically what He says in Luke 14 is, He's saying this. He's saying, you better love Me more than anybody else or more than anything else, or the pull of the world will get you. If you don't put Me first, If you don't put the things of God first, and you start putting the things of the world first, then your love for the world will grow. And then pretty soon you'll fall in love with this present world. In Luke chapter 14, look beginning at verse 25. It says, "And there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them," now watch, this is the most unusual sermon that you'll ever hear. He says in verse 26, he says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." He cannot be my disciple. Now get this, folks. He's walking along there and a crowd of people are following him. He's walking along. And they're following him. And all of a sudden he just stops. Turns to the crowd and says, "If you don't hate your mom, your father, your brother, your sister, and everything in your life, if you don't hate everything and love me, you can't be my disciple." He turns around and starts walking off. Were they already following him? Yes. Isn't that a strange thing to say to a bunch of people that's already following you? You know what he was doing? He was giving a warning and saying, right now you're following me. But if you start to put other things a priority ahead of me, you won't keep on following me. Pretty soon you'll start to follow the world. Get it? They were following him when he gave the warning. And I think he's trying to run those people off. No, he was trying to make them continue to follow him. And he was telling them how to do it. He was saying that your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, your job, your reputation, your material possessions, your hobbies, you have to take all those things off the top shelf and remove them from being your highest priority and make Christ your highest priority. You must do that. Now, drop down to verse 33. He says, "So likewise, whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." The Lord's saying here that it's okay to have things, just make sure those things don't have you. You say, "Well, how do I know if those things have got me?" Well, what do you do when the Lord asks for them? How do you know the things that you have got you? What do you do when the Lord asks for them? If you ever went to an ATM, put your card in, and then you punch your number, and you want to get cash, and you try to draw out money, and the machine doesn't give you the money, makes you happy, don't it? I mean, after all, that's your money, and you want to spend it now. It upsets you, and so you call people at the bank, and you say, "Hey, I was at the ATM today trying to get a withdrawal, and you know, and I like to get my money, and I know the money's in the bank account. I know it's not overdrawn. I know the money's there." And then you're mad at the bank because you know that your money is in there and everything's right, but yet the ATM won't give you the money. I mean, if you think about it, that's pretty reasonable to get upset about that and not to be able to get the money out of the ATM. Or let's say if you write a check and somebody says, "The check didn't clear," and or the check bounced, and you know the money was in the account, it makes you mad. It would upset you. I mean, first of all, it'd be embarrassing. I don't know about you, but every time that I've ever went there and all of a sudden my card was rejected because of a bank error, it's pretty embarrassed. I mean, you're sitting there saying, "No, I know there's money in there," and the teller's going, And it's embarrassing. You get upset about those things. Let me ask you something. Do you have anything the Lord didn't give you? Everything you had, the Lord blessed you with. Amen? Amen. Everything. So when the Lord comes by and he wants to make a withdrawal, is the bank closed? Can he get what he's already given you? When the Lord comes by and says, "You know, I'd like for you to take a little bit of time from the time that I gave you, the time that I let you have. I'd like to make a withdrawal on that today. I'd like for you to take some of that time and spend in prayer or witness to somebody or serve me in some way." And then we look and say, "Sorry, Lord, bank closed. Bank closed." Or the Lord says, "I gave you the ability to read and I gave you the Holy Spirit to make you understand the Word of God. And I'd like to make a withdrawal this morning. I'd like for you just to, you know, turn the TV off just for a little bit. Sit down and quiet and just read the Bible and let me talk to you for a while. I mean, after all, just a little bit of that time I gave you, a little bit of that ability I gave you, the Holy Spirit teaching you the Word of God. I want to make a withdrawal." We say, "No, Lord, bank closed. bank closed. Isn't it a strange thing that we can draw from his bank anytime that we want to? When we need grace, what do? We pray and we want that bank to be open right now. Amen? When we need help, we say, Lord, this is going on in my life. Lord, please intervene. Lord, help me out here. The Lord never looked at you and said, bank closed. How come our bank's closed? Everything we have, he gave to us. Do you realize the time right now that you're breathing? Some of you look like you're not. But right now you're breathing, you're alive. God has blessed you with time still. You're able to come to church. You're able to read your Bible. You say, well, I'm able, can't see as good. They make suffer, you're going to have it recorded. So you can hear people read the Bible to you. And the Lord just wants a little bit of your time. You know that time he gave you, it's his time. The ability he gave you, that's his. He gave you that. You're supposed to be good stewards of that. And what he just wants something that's his. But the problem is this. We start to think all those things are ours. And when that happens, you better be careful, Demas. Because when you start to fall in love with the things that the Lord has blessed you with, when you start to fall in love with the things of this world, pretty soon, you'll quit serving God. You'll get away from God. You must make him the number one priority. Listen, when you get up in the first thing in the morning, the first thing you should do is pray. Before you do anything else, you should pray. You should be reading your Bible every day. You say, I read better in the morning. Okay, read in the morning. I'll read better in the afternoon. Then read in the afternoon, but read your Bible. Make it a priority. Don't make the things of this world a priority. Make the things of Christ a priority. And I guarantee your love for him will grow. But if you start making the world the priority, you know, like your job, like, oh, well, I've got to, you know, I'm going to buy these toys, so I've got to work more to pay for these toys, and that's going to take away from my church time, it's take away from my Bible reading time, it's take away from my prayer reading time, I'd take away from the time I could be out there witnessing to the Lord. You know what's happening, Demas? You're falling in love with this present world. And it won't be long to where you won't even serve the Lord anymore. It won't be long to where you won't even be in church anymore. Demas used to be with Paul. He used to be his fellow laborer. But Paul says, Demas hath forsaken me and hath loved this present world. Demas used to be in the ministry, but he's not there anymore. Demas used to be in church, but he's not there anymore. Demas used to witness to people. He doesn't do that anymore. He's out doing worldly things. Paul probably thought that Demas would never, ever fall in love with the world and quit serving God. Demas himself, if the truth be known, probably never expected to fall in love with the world or quit serving God either. I mean, I don't think Demas ever planned for it to happen, but it happened. It happened to a man who was right there working side by side with one of the greatest Christians who ever lived. It happened to a man who was right there in the thick of things, seeing people getting saved and watching Jesus Christ changing the lives of people. And that should serve as a big warning to us, folks. Because if it happened to Demas, it can certainly happen to anybody in this room if we do not heed the warnings this Bible has given us over the world. If we start to think that we're not vulnerable to the pull of the world, and if we ever stop putting the Lord first and the things of God first in our lives, it won't be long until people will be saying the same thing about you that Paul said about Demas. There are people that you know right now who used to come to this church, who served in this church, but they started to love this present world and are no longer serving in this church. They're no longer serving in any church. You say, well, that's them. It could happen to you too. That quick. You better be careful. This world has a pull. You know what we need to do? We need to pray for these young people and the teenagers too. Because that world is pulling on them too. The devil is the prince of this world, and you know what he wants? He doesn't want anybody serving the Lord. And he wants to get us looking at the things of the world and seeing the shine of the things of the world. And you notice how totally dishonest the world is? I mean, you sit there and you watch these beer commercials, and all they show you is beaches and palm trees. They don't show you the wrecked lives that alcohol has done, They don't show you the wrecked marriages, the wrecked homes. They don't show you the horrible things that happen when they get behind the wheel. They're dishonest. Well, why? They want you to think that all that's good. It's not. It's not. The world's a dangerous place. And you can't love the world and love God at the same time. You've got to make a choice. What's your choice going to be this morning? Will you go down the same path that Demas went? Will you start to look putting the things of the world as a higher priority in your life than the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus warned you, told you not to. He warned those people. He turned around and said, listen, you're following me now, but don't think of yourself too highly. You can't be my disciple unless you make me the priority. You willing to do that this morning? If you're not, folks, I'm just telling you right now, you'll be a Demas. And it's just a matter of time. Will you this morning choose to make Christ the number one thing in your life? Let's stand.